So great that the Lord answered so many prayers for rain. I mean, he brought a mess of rain, didn't he? Like in 3 days or something. God, you're so good to us. And what a blessing that is. And I know the Lord will continue to bless. Much of Christendom celebrates today Ash Wednesday, which begins Lent. And it's a time of moving up towards what Jesus did for us on the cross. Actually gave up his life to die for us, that as his blood was shed, it was for the forgiveness of our sins. For we're not purchased with corruptible things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb who was slain for us without spot and without blemish. And we're so thankful for him. And you know, a neat thing about tonight is that we're having a group come up tonight that went to El Salvador, and then Megan went on to Nicaragua to reach out to the least, the last, and the lost. And that's what Jesus is about. He came down to die for all of us, even to the least and the last and the lost. And just through this presentation of seeing what God did and God's love for all the children of the world is such a neat blessing to know that that's what we'll see tonight. So we look at scripture through them, and they come up and share with us. So you guys could come up. Are you going to do it one by one, or how you want to do it? Okay, we'll go with Megan first. Okay, this is our missionary, Megan Chichen.
I'm a little bit fidgety when I speak, so it's best if the microphone, I can move with it. So I'm learning microphone etiquette. You don't want to talk too far into it. You don't want to hold it too far back. Really, when you get up here and speak, there's all these things you got to think about. Not just speaking. Anyway, thank you for having us here tonight. It's really exciting to be able to share everything that we experienced and we got to see the Lord do and just things that happened and so forth. And I know the group, when they got back, they went over and they took up part of Pastor Mark's Sunday sermon. I wish I could have heard that. But anyway, just to start it all out, I was going to share a little bit about how this all came about. Actually, it's probably a little over a year now. I mentioned something to Pastor Mark just in passing about taking a group from the church to on a mission trip with me. And it was like a comment that I just kind of threw out there, and he was very enthusiastic and positive about it. And I was like, oh, okay. And it's something that I had been thinking about for a while. It was just kind of in the back of my head, and it stayed with me. And I did that initial comment, and that was met with favorable response. And I went to Bangladesh, and I was doing a mission trip in Bangladesh. And we had a few times we're sitting in a van for quite a while, traveling to and from places. And I was sitting in the van, I remember looking out the window as everything's passing by, but not totally seeing it, and just thinking, oh, you know, that mission trip, Lord, should we do that? Like, he was real favorable about that. Should we do that? And I felt like God was like, yeah, go for it. And then I thought, okay, well, let's say we do it. Where would we go? And immediately I thought of El Salvador. And I'll share with you why in a moment. But after that, I got back from that trip and talked to Pastor Mark again. I said, Pastor Mark, let's talk about this seriously. Is this really something that we can do? Would you like me to do that? Because I'd like to do it. And he was like, yes, let's do it. Hence, El Salvador trip was born. So anyway, I'm also going to go on just a little bit about YWAM, because that is the organization that we worked with, and that is the organization that I am usually going out with. YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission. It's an international, interdenominational mission organization. They are in, I want to say something like 167 countries. You could go on the YWAM website and look it up, but there's a plethora of them that aren't even on there because they can't claim to be there. So anyway, YWAM is international, interdenominational. So we work with people, obviously coming from Calvary Chapel, non-denominational, but I've worked with Catholics, not very many, but a couple. Presbyterians, Baptists, Southern Baptists, all kinds. And basically what we do is we say, hey, we might not agree on some of the things, but on the big things we agree, so let's work together. And it's really awesome. The tagline for YWAM is to know God and make him known. So that kind of gives you an idea of what they're all about. They just really want people to go deeper in relationships with the Lord, and they want to facilitate that with others. There's three, what we call three arms of ministry. There's training, there's mercy ministries, and then there's also evangelism. And I've been fortunate and blessed to be able to be a part of all three of those in different times. Sometimes it's all kind of mixed together like spaghetti, everything touches. And sometimes it's, you know, you're focusing just on this or on that. With the training, I'm going to focus a little bit on that because it's going to get us to how we ended up in El Salvador. So just bear with me for a moment. What we have for training, many of the bases, they have what's called a discipleship training school, and that's DTS. We call it DTS for short. And basically what it is you spend 5 to 6 months getting to know God. 3 months are a lecture where you just spend time with speakers coming in from different parts of the world. They'll spend a week on one topic, for example, the character and nature of God. So they'll spend a week teaching on that. And then the next week, another speaker will come in and they'll speak on the Father heart of God. And then another week, another speaker will come in and they'll talk about prayer and intercession. It really just depends on the schools. Different schools have different topics, but those are pretty basic topics that most schools have. So we spend 3 months doing that, and all it is, we call it a school of the heart, because what you're doing is you're not getting the, you need to do this, but you can't do that. You get that, but you get it in the way of, hey, let's learn who God is, and everything he does is for our best. He always does what's most loving, and he always wants what's highest and best for us. And so if he's saying don't do this or to do this, he's doing it because it is for your best. And so you're getting that care, that foundation, that character foundation, and that trust in him. So even when you don't totally understand why he says to do or not do something, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to trust the Lord because I know he's good. So that's kind of a quick glimpse of what the lecture phase is. Outreach phase, I just blanked on the word outreach. The outreach phase is usually either 2 to 3 months, and that's where you go into different communities and you just work with them and you bless them in whatever way you can. Depending on what community you go to, you'll be doing different things. This is how I ended up in El Salvador with the group. I had actually led a team from when I was on staff in Belize. I was staffing the DTS that I was just telling you about, and I took them out on outreach, and we went to El Salvador. And the group there is absolutely amazing. They are wonderful people. They are very loving, and they have a ton of things to do. They've got a lot of ministry, and that was one of the key things. I always say when I go on DT, when I take DTSs on outreach, let's do the mission sampler. Let's see all the different things that you can do so that people can know it doesn't look just one way. It can be totally different. You can, you know, you're doing one thing this night, and then you're doing something totally different this night. When I was in Nicaragua, I went to a Calvary Chapel, and he's doing Christian Surfers ministry. So there's all different kinds of things that you can do. Just finding my place, I kind of went off cuff. Okay. All right, so like I said, El Salvador, they've got many different ministries, and we're going to share a little bit about some of what they do because we got to participate in them. Whoops. All right, so the first thing, our first day there, we went and we did... Cheyenne, are the photos from the... That's okay. All right, I'm going to let him deal with that. I'm just going to talk. We went to a church, and we got to speak at a church. I think there were like 30 people in the church. It was real small, but it was really amazing. The people were very warm. When you go, I don't know how many of you have been to... I think Mexico is very similar to this. So let's say Latin culture. I'll just generalize it. You go in, and you know the men give you a nice little shake in the shake your hand real nice and hearty, and then the women come and they give you a kiss, and they just like totally envelop you in the arms. Oh, Dios te bendiga, Dios te bendiga. Excuse my Spanish for those who speak Spanish. Basically saying, God bless you. And then when they get up there, when they get everybody, when they're up there, oh, gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. I love it. I was actually just saying it. Whenever there's a pause, I would lean over to Cheyenne or whoever's sitting next to me. They're going to say, gloria a Dios. And then they did. But anyway, they invited us to come and speak, and we were praying about who's going to speak, and I felt like God said, you speak. And I was like, really? I really don't want to speak the first time. But God told me to, so I did. And what he told me to speak about was something that he had been speaking to me over the summer. Last summer, I was doing a school, a biblical foundation school in Colorado, and one of the things that he was highlighting to me was that... Did I do it right? Okay. Sorry. Get some pictures up there now. One of the things that he was highlighting to me was to remember. He was talking about the word remember. And he's talking about what happens when we don't remember and what happens when we do. And remembering who he is and remembering his character. And that was something that he was just bringing to me. I remember thinking when I'd read the Bible and I see all these things about, you know, when God's bringing Israel out of Egypt, why do they bring that up so often? And he answered that question. It was really awesome. Well, besides the fact that it was the birth of a nation, I mean, come on, that's pretty awesome. But just about looking at his character and when you don't, how things get out of perspective. And he gave me the example of when they were in the desert and they're wandering and they're going, telling Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die? You know, when we were in Egypt, we were eating plenty of food, blah, 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 just complaining and moaning, forgetting the fact that they were crying out to God to save them because they were in bondage. So their perspective was completely off. And so he just gave me this mini sermon, I'll call it, because it wasn't too long. Translation helps when you've got a lot of time. You go, okay, let's see. You pass the mic. And you get to, okay, let me think about what's next. It's really great. But anyway, so I got to share about that, and then with that, he was telling me to share about my personal testimony from last year when I was in Bangladesh, and I'm not going to go there with you guys. Some of you know it. Some of you might not. If you want to hear it, you can talk to me later. It's a really cool testimony, though. But I basically got sick in Bangladesh, and I thought it was, like, the worst place that I could have been in, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. And it actually, by the time I ended, I was like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. This is the best place I could have been in. I'm with the best people. I could actually afford the health care. It was great. So it turned into something that I was just like, that was one of my things. That was one of the things where I said, I'm never going to forget this because I know that God was with me every step of the way, and I know he was taking care of me, and I know his hand was on it. The timing of it, like everything that happened, was so just... perfect. It was like a well-oiled machine. I think I used this to describe it one time. It's a well-oiled machine in a place where nothing's oiled. Like, nothing runs perfectly over there, but that happened to run perfectly. And so that was just part of mine, and all just basically telling them, this is something for me to look at, to look back on and say, this is what the Lord did. This is how good he is. This is for me to remember what he's done and keep perspective how good he is in his character and to be thankful and grateful to him. So that was our first day in my little brief summary of what I was sharing. And then I'll go to the homeless photos because later on that week, we got to go and work with a homeless. There's a ministry called Lighthouse. Give me just one moment. There we go. I'll let those just run through. You can take a look at them. This ministry, what they do is they once a week open up and they allow the homeless to come in. They get a nice warm shower, which, by the way, was more than we got. We had cold showers. It's okay. It was warm there, so it wasn't bad. But, Dad, you would have liked how fast I took showers. Very quickly. In and out. So anyway, they open the place up, and the homeless, they can take showers. They can play games. You can see them at the tables there. They've got lots of cards and games that they can play. you can just sit and talk to them. And then later we offer a meal and somebody shares a word. When I was there, we all had like different stations that we were at. And John, the guy in the red right there, he was the guy that I knew, and that's how we got in contact with this ministry. He runs it, and he knew me, so he put me in the closed bathroom detail, meaning I got nice plastic gloves. There might be a photo in there of me with the plastic gloves on. And I would hold up new shirts to the homeless. ¿Este camisa? ¿Te gusta? ¿Este? You know, is this shirt? Is this okay? Do you like it? And we would give them new clothes when they showered, and then they would give their old clothes, and then they would wash them and then put them in the bin for later use, so they kind of recycle everything. So that was what I would, there we go, I have, you can't really tell, I have plastic gloves on there, and my hands were so warm. But they're kind of dirty, so you didn't really want to touch anything. But, so that was my station. Gloria and Lynn, I think, were working with the food and getting all the platters and serving the food. And Cheyenne got to hang out with everybody and talk to them. And the thing with that, a lot of the people there that come, they are homeless, but a lot of them speak English, which is surprising, because a lot of them actually have spent time in the U.S. And what happens is they get into drugs or whatever, and then the U.S., instead of jailing them here, they say, you know what? Let's kick you out. So they deport them. And there was actually one girl who was one of the last to shower. She wouldn't talk to the other two that I was working with, who obviously spoke Spanish. They spoke a little English, so I could communicate pretty well with them. But whenever she wanted anything, like her pants, no, smaller pants, because she's a real small girl, she would only speak to me, and she'd speak in flawless English. I'm like, man, your English is as good as mine. But so there's a lot of people. So there's a lot of people to talk to and just share and hear their stories. And it's just an amazing ministry that they open this place up and, you know, allow them to come and do this. And it's very popular. We had 40-something people come, which it was like packed. It was really hot. It was packed. So anyway, that's kind of a summary of ministry, homeless ministry right there. But it was really awesome to be a part of and very exhausting afterwards. But it was good. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Gloria. Gloria's going to come up and share a little bit about the prostitutes.
You did fine. She was asking if she went over the time. Okay, that was the first day. It was so neat that Megan had opened the mission ministry to the church, because going to a mission trip was one of my one in my bucket list. So it was really neat. I had a lot of expectations, but I really didn't want to put it out there, because I was really embracing what the Lord had for all of us. The first meeting we had with a YWAM leader, her name is Judy. She is not Salvadorian, she is from Colombia, but the Lord and her family were called to El Salvador, and all the people in the YWAM base are not, only one was from El Salvador. Two came from Peru, one, the family came from Colombia, and the other one was Salvadorian, and he was an orphan. Anyway, Judy, the wife of the leader, had told us all the ministries that were available that we can participate in, and the homeless ministry was what Megan talked about. Cheyenne and I were fortunate that we all partook in all the ministries, but I'm going to talk about two ministries, the hospital ministry and the light ministry. The hospital ministry is kind of close to my heart because I'm a nurse. And what we did was, it's almost like an extension of what I usually do at the hospital. We went to, the two of us with two translators, went to a general hospital, and Megan and Lynn went to a maternity hospital. It was really neat because we didn't have anything but a jug of coffee and packets of cookies. And we sat at the waiting room in the emergency room. And this is the bus that we took. It was a 5-minute bus. So it was really neat to see how their buses look like. It's very colorful. And this is Shaba. He's the orphan and wonderful, wonderful 20-year-old boy. And that's David, Colombian. And they're like, I call them my nephews because they're between 20 to 30 years of age. So they always come with us. You see the jug of coffee that's by Shava, and the one in green, that's Maho, my translator, and I think she's carrying all the cookies. So we went to the General Hospital, and we just waited for the Holy Spirit to lead us to the people that we need to talk to. And most of the people that we talk to are just people who are waiting for their loved ones who need to be seen in ER or waiting for their time to go visit their family. And it is so neat because it just reminds me of what the Lord had been doing. You know, he was going from Galilee all the way down to Samaria, even to Judea, extending to Jordan. And he saw all this multitude. And he had such compassion for all of them because he looked at all these people waiting in the waiting room and in the wilderness during his time. And he saw them. They were distressed and they were downcast and they looked like sheep without a shepherd. And we felt that way. We didn't have anything much to offer except for the cup of coffee and the cookies. But we had more. We had the Word of God. So the people who were waiting and who were willing for us to share the gospel with, this lady, the one in white, she has diabetes. And I found out that she wasn't taking her medication. That's why she wasn't feeling well. So the nurse part in me had to tell her, you gotta take your medication. And then I ministered to her with the Word, and she received that. And this man on the right, he was a believer. And when he heard me talking about Jesus, he went in and joined in and said, I am a believer myself. And he spoke English. Maho, the one in green, is my translator. She is now with YWAM, but she's actively coming every week to volunteer her time because she just loves what YWAM does. One thing that there was a lady that was waiting in the waiting room, and she looked very sad, and I found out that her 21-year-old daughter has been sick in and out of the hospital because she has an autoimmune disorder. And she spoke good English, so I told her a little bit about the autoimmune disease, and then I went ahead and asked her if she knew Jesus. And she said, yes, she knew Jesus. And I said, I have a favorite psalm in the book. What is yours? And she said, Psalm 91. And so as she's saying this, she pulled out her Bible, gave it to me, and I started looking for it because I wanted to show it to her. But before I could even go to the page, she started reciting it. So it was so neat because it's back and forth nourishment. I had my nourishment from her, and I reminded her that Jesus was going to be with her and her daughter. And she knew that because she said, I know I'm going to go home with her, with my daughter one day. It's just that she had her exacerbation. So that was the hospital ministry. They did this once a week. And we actually went twice that week. Two times in the General Hospital. The second ministry that we went to is called the Light Ministry. The Light Ministry takes place at night. And again, the group was separated or was divided into two groups. I was with Cheyenne, and this time I was with Lore, is a wonderful translator. She's about 24 years old. And another man, Stephen. He was 30 years of age. And we got out of the house. We carried with us packets of cookies again and a jug of juice. We walked around the neighborhood about 10 to 15 minutes. Soon after that, we met the people who are in bondage. They are the prostitutes, and they were the transvestites. And that's where the ministry started. And I was like, what do you tell these people? And I was totally amazed. Laura, 24 years old, met these people, hugged these people, kissed them with sincerity. Like she knew these people like best friends. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know what to say. I think I'm going to stay away because I really didn't know what to say. And I'm praying, Lord, give me love for these people. I don't know what to say. And Lori told me, just talk to them like normal people. And I did. Because I remembered what Jesus had said. These people are downcast and they were distressed. And they were like sheep without a shepherd. And these were these people. In Matthew 10:6, when Jesus gathered the disciples, what did he say to them? He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, saying, preach them. Preach that the kingdom of heaven is coming. And so I said, okay, I'm going. I'm here. I'm going to talk to him. And I was confused. Do I say him or her? He's a he, but he looks better than I am. So what do I say? And then I started talking to him. And I said, how long have you been standing here? And he told me. And I said, how long are you going to be standing here for? Till I get business. And when he said that, I did feel compassion because they're totally lost. And I said, what are you doing this for? And he said, yo quiero dinero. And I looked at him and my heart just broke. And I felt, you're lost, you're lost. And then I said, aren't you scared? Have you heard of the word HIV? And he said, yes. It's very common here. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he didn't say anything. But then my translator said, let's move on. Because he was listening to me, but at the same token, he was very busy looking at the cars who are slowing down because they are prospective customers. Well, right beside him is a boy. He's about 15 to 20 years of age. And he had this look of sadness in his face. And he wasn't standing up, he was sitting down. So I knelt down before him and I introduced myself to him. And I knew that he was a transvestite. And I told him, do you know God? And he didn't say anything. And I said, his name is Jesus. And he made you. And he looked at me. And at this time, I held his hand and I said, Jesus loves you. And he doesn't like what you're doing. This is not pleasing to his eyes. But he is waiting for you. His brazos are muy largo. And I would speak and then Lori would translate for me. So nothing is missed. And he started crying. And I memorized Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I started speaking it in Spanish. Venid a mí, come to me. That's what Jesus says. Come to me. The time is now. Just confess, and he is willing to help you. He is willing to receive you. And he looked at me and he started crying. That evening, no one said, I will turn my ways and I'm going to quit this job. No one said that. It's surprising that the ministry is called Light Ministry. We had juice and cookies to give, but the best thing that we gave is the light of the world, Jesus. And I told him, I will be praying for you. And every night at around 8 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock their time, I pray, Lord, where is Asael right now? Where is Veronica right now? Where is Miguel right now? If they're getting ready, Lord, to go into the streets, Lord, please touch their hearts. And I've been praying for them, and I've kept in touch with my friends in El Salvador, and I got an email the other day, and Stephen had said that one prostitute of 15 years is possibly thinking of quitting that job. So the work of the Lord is not finished, and I'm really hoping, very hopeful, that one day these kids will turn. Because you see, the gospel that I gave them did not come in word only. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5 said, the gospel did not come to you in word only, but it came with power, with the Holy Spirit, and the assurance of full conviction. Because I know that the word of God is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and the spirit, the marrow and the joints, and it discerns the intentions of the heart. So that's, I'm holding on to that. Because my Jesus, El Señor, y fiel, y poderoso, and he's a good God. That's it. I went over the time.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I'm not used to this.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the orphanage that we visited and also the school that we also shared the gospel to. So the orphanage, I'm so excited to go because, of course, children, I'm part of the children's ministry here, if you guys don't know, and I really love working with kids. So I just need to have this opportunity to visit the orphanage. So early in the morning, we got ready, and they said, oh, you know, you need to go and pack lunches. And I go, what? We're going to pack lunch? Because usually we have time to go home and eat, you know, lunch at the base. But this time around, they said pack lunch, so I did, because we're going to work all day. And I go, oh, work all day. But it's okay, you know, I'm really pumped and, you know, looking forward to it. Because, you know, coming to El Salvador, I'm a little nervous because I don't speak the language. And also, I don't have the DTS training, so I don't know how to minister to adults. I don't know how this thing is going to all work. But God is saying, you know, just share my love. Your love for this people, because my love is a universal language. And so I'm just so, you know, pumped. And I go, okay, Lord, I'm going to go and do whatever. I'm going to scrub the floor, whatever. And so we went there. And the first thing we did is we drove up in the mountains. I go, wow, where are we going? And here they have a gated community. And we walk, you know, it's really secure. You have to show your ID and everything. And as we pulled in, we walked inside, and all this beautiful scenery. It's up in the mountains, so you could see the landscape. They have bungalows all over, and they have, go ahead, and walking around, you can see the little paintings of Jesus walking with the kids. So it's really positive, you know, scene. And so I was really excited. And what we did first is move their kitchen, their old kitchen, to this new kitchen right here. This is their old kitchen, and it's really small. And then the new kitchen is big. It's like one, two, like three sizes bigger than the old kitchen, and it's brand new. New tiles and everything. And so we helped them move that everything that's in the old kitchen, and we also helped them prepare their lunch. And Megan was learning how to make the, well, not that one, making the tortilla. And Gloria was helping make rice, and I was just looking because I'm not really a cook. I just kind of help out. And so it was just really neat experience. And the ladies who was working there, they're really, you know, welcoming. I mean, I'm sure we're in their way, but, you know, they're okay. They're just laughing and smiling with us. But it's just neat to have that experience. And what blessed me so much is what God is providing for the orphanage. You know, they have food, they have all these things, and they're secure. Like I told you, they have, it's gated, and they have security guards everywhere to keep an eye on things, and because they're protecting the kids too. And Megan did pose with the gun and also one with the jacket, because she saw a bunch of security guards, you know, just hanging out, and, you know, hey, I want to, you know, post with my with your gun and to show my church. And so here we are. Sorry, Megan. But what I, oh no. But you know, I'm just saying that the kids are really protected here. And also I noticed they have gardens. They grow their own vegetables. They also have chicken farms where they, you know, make their own meats. And this is their dinner, actually, that they're preparing this day. And it's just so neat how, you know, God is providing for these kids. And I'm going to turn to Exodus 22, just so I could get that right, what he said. 22 to 24. He said, "You shall not afflict my widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry out at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with my sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." It's really, he's really serious about it, taking care of the underdogs, pretty much. And so I see that him working in this kid's life, providing them with all this food, with all the security and all the love, because each kids have their own dorm, and each dorm has their own kitchen, they have their own living room, they have a play area, bedrooms, they all have each a bed, and they have cubbies for their clothes and stuff like that. Here are some of the kids, they're showing off their homeworks. It's just neat to just talk to them and spend time with them. There's this Arena, she's a teenager who lives there, and she pretty much kind of took us in her wing and showed us around. And, you know, she doesn't really speak a lot of English, but we communicate with hand motions and all that. And Megan said that, oh, I worked so hard, you know, talking and, you know, speaking Spanish. She was so tired at the end of the day. And here's Eduardo. He's my favorite because he's so rambunctious. He's jumping up and down and going to different furniture. And I go, oh, you know, be careful, be careful. But he is just so happy. He wants to show off his bed, his clothes, where he, you know, where he plays. It's just so neat to have all the kids there and spend time with them. And we also met some of the girls. And go ahead. And here's Eduardo's brother. And here's the girls. There's Ana Estela and her friend. And they're also showing up her their their beds and, you know, just having a good time with, which is showing things, their homeworks and stuff. And we also visited the boys' quarters, and they're grown, so they're getting ready to, I guess some of them getting ready to leave the orphanage, but I don't know. What else do we have here? Sorry. Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Censor. So basically that's all for the orphanage. Thank you. So next is the school. I like the school too. We went to this one, I guess it's a grade school, elementary school, and it's a public school. And it's neat that they allow missionaries to come in and share the gospel to the kids. And so when we walked in, they said, oh, you can, you know, teach the ninth graders and the sixth graders. And I was assigned a three classroom, and Cheyenne was assigned a two classroom. And our job is to teach these kids their identity in Christ. So Cheyenne talked about their relationship with God. And for me, God showed me how to be a child of God. So I taught them this thing that I always teach my kids here, and that's the paper story. So I'm going to show that to you guys. So you could share it with your kids. And I do this so that, you know, the kids will have a visual of what it is. So I told the kids about Manuel. I said, Manuel was a little boy, and he talked to God. He said, God, if you make me rich, I will be a happy man. And so Manuel grew up, and he has a lot of money. And so Manuel said, oh, I'm going to go ahead and buy myself a boat, and I'm going to sail around the world. And Manuel was still unhappy. And he said, God, no, not God yet, sorry. He said, oh, you know what? I'm going to build myself a house. And I'm going to put it on top of the mountain. And people will see me, and I'll be the richest man in the neighborhood. But his heart is empty, and he's not happy. He said, oh, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and buy myself a jet, and I'm going to fly around the world. Sorry, this is my jet. Around the world. And yet his heart is empty. He is so unhappy. He said, ah, I'm done with this world. I'm going to go and get a ticket to a shuttle, and I'm going to go to the moon. And when he got to the moon, he's by himself. His heart is still empty. He's like, oh, God, what am I doing wrong? And God spoke to him, and he said, you only need one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus, and you ask Jesus in your heart, he comes into your heart, and you become a child of God. I was telling the kids this, and they were so amazed. Wow. And they said, but first, you have to ask Jesus in your heart. Do you want Jesus in your heart? And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And so then we prayed a sinner's prayer together. And I taught them English phrase. I taught them, Jesus loves me. Again and again, I taught them, because they wanted to learn a phrase in English. And I taught them, Jesus loves me. So I had such a blessed time, and my translator was so happy too. We're so pumped, and we're like, oh, that was the greatest day. And I am thinking to myself, you know what? God did this for me. I'm thinking, oh, I'm blessing the kids. Really, I'm the one getting blessed, because I am learning to share the gospel, because I never had that opportunity before other than our kids here. So I'm just really thankful that the church, you know, allow us to have this opportunity. So thank you, guys.
Oh. I can. I can put it down here. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh. Even I just moved the podium over. Okay, hang on a sec. Let me. Maybe Megan, you can run it for me. I'll stand to the side. Hit the forward button. So, just as Megan and my wife Gloria and Lynn shared, this ministry is just like full on. I mean, it's like, how can I explain it? It's like going on a retreat, but you're putting your, instead of learning, you're going out and doing it, something every single day. You're instead of receiving, you're giving out. You're asked to, hey, can you give this message tomorrow to the kids? Can you give a message to the prostitutes? We're going out here. We're going to divide up. We're going to pray it up. And they do this every single week. Think about that. They're spreading the gospel. They're showing the love of God. So what I'm going to hit is three areas. I got 12 minutes and maybe less. They ate up my time. So I'm going to just describe a typical day. Like on my, we got there Saturday, landed. Okay, just getting over the travel thing. Sunday we went to the church where Megan was. And the next day, Monday, woke up about 7 o'clock, okay, or earlier, we ate breakfast. All right, that's cool. And someone always cooked breakfast for us. But it wasn't like, you know, we're being served. Someone had to wash the dishes. So the girls went and washed the dishes. And so we shared. It was like a family. So I just want to give you an idea. Okay, at 7 o'clock we ate. 8:30, Megan said, hey, we're going to go and have devotions. And this is Megan calling all four of us. We go in the back there of this complex, and we would... this building here, but it's in the back, and it had a little classroom. So we'd have devotions, and it's kind of cool because we'd share, and we'd have our own devotions spring up, and what God's been teaching us. So we'd share, and then around, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, we'd go out to do our mission, one of the missions that they have. In this case, this first day on Monday, we learned how to paint. Remember the grasshopper, learn how to paint up and down. Okay, keep going, keep painting. So it's funny because we were asked to help, and it was cool because, you know, instead of just listening, we were actually helping. You know, we saw the other YWAM people. Stephen was sweeping out the front yard, James was in the backyard, Lemmy was in the kitchen sweeping the floor. So everybody was doing something. So it's not just sitting back, you're actually involved. It's really a family thing. You're kind of urge to do something. So it's kind of cool. So, all right, so I touched that. And then after the team finished up, you know, we can go through the rest of the pictures and the painting. It's kind of funny because, you know, the gate's already black, so I couldn't really tell. You stand back 10 feet, hey, it looks the same. But it's kind of funny, but We kind of kidded everybody. Every time we pull up at the end of the day, isn't that the best looking gate you ever saw? So it was funny. This picture here is the coolest because of the fact that this is after we got back, and Judy, the YWAM leader down there, sent this to us. And it's from their gate. It's not a very good picture up there, but that one looks better. That's the gate, and that's the whole team. And I tell you, if you ever experience it, have a chance to go down there, you just fall in love with these people because they love the Lord, and they show it in their actions. Isn't that, it's a beautiful thing. So let's go over to, I can touch on that. We also went out to dinner once in a while, and this time we got ice cream at a mall. So it was just really fun. I can't explain how much fun, but maybe you can hear it in my tone of my voice. Okay, we can go to the next one. So the later that afternoon, okay, I'm going to talk about how we, the next ministry is called Geraldo Barrios. And it's a ministry to the poor people. And they do this every Monday and Saturday. So we drove out, and this is the truck we got to ride in. I didn't think I was going to ride in the back for an hour, but that's what it was. I, you know, think about, you know, 80 degrees and breathing smog all the way down, but that's the way it goes. So, and Megan told me, yeah, she, it's pretty typical. So, yeah, don't expect the, you know, the most comfortable features or how to get around, or, but it's adequate. Whatever you're gonna, you know, whatever you do, going down there to do ministry, it's adequate for what God provides. So, before I went down there though, before the trip, it was kind of funny because I was telling Pete, hey, I'm going down to El Salvador, and some, you know, most of it was positive, but I got some reactions as, hey, you know, they got gangs down there. Oh, really? Yeah, they got murders and violence down there. I go, okay. I kind of brushed it off, but on the way there, we had some dead time, so at the airport, I was just looking at some of the things on the website. So I looked up El Salvador and found out that, yeah, it pretty much confirmed that I was looking it up, and yeah, they have, El Salvador has like the highest murder rate, homicide rate in the world. Yeah, and you know, the other thing is like gang violence. That's high on their list. They have a gang epidemic down there. They have like 25,000 people, kids to elders to older people that are in gangs, and like 6,000 or 7,000 are in jail. Just give you an idea, in the United States, there are like 5 murders or homicides per 100,000 people in the United States. Okay, you get off the airplane in El Salvador, it's 12 times that. So just think about, okay, I got 12 times the chance of getting killed. But all this is running through your mind. But you know, what the Lord brought me scripture about this is that Matthew 6:25. And Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you drink or eat, not even the clothes you wear. He says, don't worry, because if you're a child of God, he'll take care of you. And that was pretty much what I learned, just trust in him. So we took the step of faith, and we got in the truck, went down to the barrios, which means neighborhood, the outskirts of the city. And this is what it looks like. So if you've ever been to Tijuana, Mexicali, it's pretty much dirt roads. You got homes that are shanty, galvanized roofs and sidings there. When we got there, we had part of the team that were with the children, like Stephen and Matu there, next one. And our team, we went ahead and you can just run it. We had our team here that's, you can go back one. That's our team pretty much, our translators, that's Lore, David, Ja, and Chava. They were always with us. They translated whatever we said in English into Spanish. Go ahead, next one. So Gloria was asked to talk about identity in Christ. What's your relationship with God to these people? So the people started sitting down, pulling up their chairs, and Gloria started talking about, okay, what's your relationship? And this is who Jesus is. And some of the people are just the sweetest thing. I mean, if you look at this lady, she came up and hugged you, and I didn't even know her. And that's the love of God, because they see the YWAM people, God's people, just showing love to them every week. Well, after Gloria talked about the relationship with God, you know, the Lord prompted me to say something. I didn't have to, but I felt like, well, what's your relationship with God? I wanted to ask these people. Okay, so what I did was I said, okay, I'm an immigrant myself, okay? My dad immigrated here from the United States, met my mother in Hawaii, and that's where I was born. But I grew up poor, so I can relate to being not having a whole lot. But what happened in my life is someone approached me when I was in my teens and says, do you know who Jesus is? And I didn't know what that meant until later. And I felt the same compassion to share Jesus with them. So that's what I did. I walked them through the sinner's prayer, and it was just something that I felt doing. And you can see the people, they just close their eyes, and all fall short of the glory of God. And we need Jesus. We need Jesus in our hearts to be able to, to walk in his ways and to be saved from hell. So basically, that's the message. And if you go back one slide too, I talked about the gang members. Well, they're all over there. And, it's just part of it. You talk to gang members here, probably, and where we live now. But one of them, back a couple slides, a guy in a green shirt happened to just talk to me after we gave our message, Gloria and I. And he asked me, where are you from? What's the weather like? And this guy in the green hair up in there, I was told later he was a gang member, and he lived just across the ways. So, the things I was worrying about, I didn't really have to worry. God was protecting us as his people. So anyways, I'll speed it up here. I got a couple more minutes. So let's go, and we'll go ahead and talk about the last day, because it was a free day for us. And that day, we got to spend at the beach. And the beach was called Zante. We got there about midday, and we found out that we had a free day, so we chose the beach, and I knew there was surfing because I looked on my app and says there's surf in El Salvador. Great, I love it. So, and this place is set up for surfing. It had restaurants, small restaurant, it had a pool, it had places where you can rent surfboards. So it was really set up for tourists, and people fly in there just to surf. It's really a cool thing. That's Fran and his daughter. Just a beautiful family. He's one of the leaders of YWAM. And I got to surf. I got to rent a board, $10 for half a day. You'd love it, Pastor Mark. You'd love it. The water's warm, no wetsuit. I was just living it. But you know what I remember most about that is the fellowship. I got to teach some of the people how to surf on the YWAM group. Stephen, Chava, David. I mean, I tell them the basics. And Megan got into it too. She got to learn at least a prone on the surfboard. So it was really cool. I was just like, this is fun. That's what I remember. It's not so much, I got to go surfing. I got to fellowship and bond with Christian people, in South America, Central America, which I never thought. But we share the same thing. We share God. I mean, it's really cool because, I don't even have to speak Spanish, but through the broken English and what my counterparts can understand, they can understand me that we both love Jesus. So anyways, that's Megan having a big smile. She don't ask you about the falling wave because she went bonk and she got out. But she was having a great time, and I just encourage everybody, if you got the opportunity, if God nudges on your heart to go, this is such a great ministry. It's not only this. I think Mexicali, Rick McCart, he goes down to Mexicali. Probably experienced the same thing. But just take that step of faith, and God will just bless you like we were blessed. So thank you.
Okay, I promise I will be brief because it's 8:30. Okay, I'm just going to touch on a little bit of what Cheyenne said, because we were talking later before we got together, and we were talking about what we were going to be presenting tonight. And one of the things that I was talking about was, for me, it's really special to go down and work with a YWAM base, as I am what we call YWAMer. And so it's really cool to go and work with people from the organization that I'm with, but in different countries, and just to see how they operate and see how they run. But on a bigger scale, just like Cheyenne was talking about, it's fellowshipping with other believers, and those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And just to be able to go down there, and honestly, it's very humbling, because I get in the, and I've been so many places, and I still get in this thought of like, yeah, we're going to go down there, and you just kind of, it's not the front of your mind sometimes, but you're like, oh yeah, there's other believers in other countries and other churches, and hopefully that doesn't sound too horrible, because it's not like this thing where I'm going, oh yeah, we're the only believers. it's nobody else, we're it, and we, you know, I know that there are other people, but sometimes it just kind of hits you smack dab in the forehead, and you're just like, oh yeah, that's right, and these people are amazing, and they love the Lord, just like everybody's been sharing, and it's just awesome. And these are just some of our photos of, you know, hanging out with them in between ministry times and before going to bed and stuff. And I can't emphasize, and I just love the group. When I went down there the first time, Judy and Fran, they're the directors. They're absolutely amazing. They're so amazing. I have so much respect for them. I can't put into words like what it is to go down there and partner with them to do this stuff. But do you want to skip forward to that? I just picked out a couple of verses. Like I said, I'll be brief. Just in regards to fellowship and unity. And I was, I looked up the word fellowship. Can you go to the Genesis? I looked up the word fellowship in the dictionary, and I didn't really like any of the definitions. I didn't think they were all that great. One of them that I did like was communion, but better than that, when I was looking up a little bit about fellowship, I came across Genesis 5:22. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. This is the NIV. I usually don't like the NIV, but it included the word faithfully, and I really like that. And I like that. And so in my simple way, and hopefully, Pastor Mark, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was kind of looking at it, and I said, well, to put it very simply, fellowship is walking with God. Fellowship is faithfully walking with God and faithfully walking with God together. So, So with that in mind, I was looking at also Philippians 2:1-2. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, which is what we went and we did. We were working with a totally different culture. We didn't even speak the same language. Some of the team did speak some English, so that made it easier, and I speak a little bit of Spanish. I can usually get my point across, but every once in a while, well, not every once in a while, more often than not, I am wondering if what I said is matching with what I meant. But everybody, you know, they're not even going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm like, okay, I think they got it. Just trusting that God kind of filled in the gaps where I was just completely like, I don't know. And so, yeah, like we were going and being one and walking in unity together. And, you know, some of these people, like I knew Fran and Judy, I've known them. I met them the first time 3 years ago. But their family, this was the first time I met them. But it was just like, hey, there's just that bond of, hey, we're doing the same thing. We're walking, you know, doing ministry together. And it's just amazing. And then, is there the, yeah. I flipped too soon. And then, you know, Psalm 133, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. I just really like that. And it talks about the oil running down Aaron's beard, but I didn't want to get into that, so I just picked this one. And then the last one that really caught my eye regarding fellowship and unity is Ephesians 4:4-6. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so that's really what we're doing. We're going and we're sharing, like they said, we're sharing God's love and we're being light and, you know, God's speaking to us and moving in us, but we're also encouraging them and they're encouraging us. And it's just like this cycle of blessing and then being blessed. And it's just an amazing cycle. And it's very honoring to be a part of. Really quickly, like I said, I promise to make, I'm like almost done, promise. You guys can go soon. just as far, I would love to continue to do this. I ideally would like to do this once a year. I did not talk to you about this. Hopefully it's okay. thanks. I ideally would like to do a trip once a year, maybe to here again, maybe somewhere else, maybe to here and somewhere else. I do not know. We'll see what God says. However, at this point in time, I'm actually headed to French Polynesia to go check that out. I'm possibly going to be going there long term and work with pioneering a base, a YWAM base down there. So everything's kind of up in the air. But like I said, I would love to continue doing this. So what I'm going to do, or actually, I already have a sign-up sheet. If you guys are interested, you can go ahead and put your name on the sign-up sheet. And when I find out more about what's going on, when I have a clear picture of the possibilities and, you know, all that stuff, I will let you guys know. And so when that gets started again, because I am in faith that it will happen again, if you're interested, you can be a part of that as well. So we'll go ahead and leave it there because we are over. We're really sorry about that. But thank you for coming and listening. And if you guys have any questions, you just want to talk to us or anything, we're going to be around for a little bit afterwards. So that's it. Thank you, guys.